The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
This is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. I'm Molly Dishner. It's July 21st, and the fish are still coming, but the run is showing signs of slowing. Tonight, Undercurrent News reporter Janine Stewart tells us about the state of the sockeye market. We hear about the latest development in the ongoing debacle over who gets to call their Alaska salmon sustainable, plus a Nikuk fisherman with a unique way of filleting sockeye. It was also confirmed yesterday that Trident's South Naknek plant will be shutting down after this season. First, your marine weather forecast. For Bristol Bay, there's a small craft advisory on Wednesday night. Tonight, southwest winds at 10 knots are expected in the evening, supposed to die down to less than 10 knots as the night progresses. Seas at 3 feet and patchy fog. Wednesday, west wind 20 knots, seas at 4 feet, building to 7 feet in the afternoon. And by Wednesday night, west wind 25 knots, seas at 9 feet. Thursday, west wind 25 knots. From Port Hyden to Cape Sarachef, there's a small craft advisory Wednesday and Wednesday night. Tonight there, variable wind at 10 knots becoming southwest 20 knots after midnight. East of Port Moeller, there's supposed to be variable wind at 10 knots, seas at 5 feet, patchy fog, and some rain. Tomorrow, southwest wind at 25 knots, seas at 8 feet. And Wednesday night, west wind 25 knots, seas at 8 feet. By Thursday, still some west wind 25 knots. Now let's run down the numbers. Yesterday's baywide harvest was about 751,000 sockeye, bringing the season total to about 33.5 million. The total run is now estimated at almost 49 million sockeye. Igigik fishermen landed 178,000 fish yesterday, season total 8 million. Ugashik fishermen caught 128,000, season total just over 5 million. And Naknek Kwejak fishermen caught 342,000, bringing their season total to about 15 million. In the Nooshigak, fishermen caught 84,000 sockeye yesterday, season total of about 5 million. And in Togiak, 19,000 reds caught yesterday, season total 133,000. The sockeye per drift delivery yesterday, still Ugashik leads at 838, followed by Igigik 772, Naknek Kwejak 515, Nooshigak 388, and Togiak 206. Now for the escapement counts. Yesterday's Igigik count was 83,000, season total almost 2 million. On the Ugashik, 92,000 fish counted yesterday, season total about 1.1 million. For the Naknek River, 21,000 fish counted yesterday, season total 1.8 million. And on the Kwejak, 420,000 counted yesterday, season total almost 7 million. Nooshigak sonar is out of the water now, but the Wood River Tower is still counting. 53,000 sockeye counted there yesterday, season total 1.8 million. Igushik River, 87,000 sockeye counted yesterday, season total 546,000. And in Togiak, almost 7,000 reds counted yesterday, bringing the season total to about 40,000. Those are the numbers. If you have fish news, tips, ideas, or feedback, send it to me at fish@kdlg or call us here at the station anytime.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Crawley, fueling Alaska for more than 60 years with a full range of residential, commercial, aviation, and marine fuel products, and supporting local fisheries offshore with Bristol Bay Floater Fueling Services. More information at CrawleyFuels.com.
In boatyards and bars, the price of Bristol Bay's 2015 sockeye remains a big topic of discussion. Sunday morning, skipper Jason Wood was in Naknek getting the fishing vessel Driftwood ready for winter. He says he's concerned about how prices will shake down.
We had a good season. It was a slow start. We were worried throughout the season that we weren't going to get the fish, and then the fish came late. We were a little bit disappointed with Trident that we had to be on limit this year and that they didn't buy fish one of the days. But the biggest thing I guess we're worried about now is such a low price for the fish.
Matthew Johnson, who captained the fishing vessel Erin L. and fished for Silver Bay this summer, says that while he's hearing preliminary prices, he still expects to see prices change in the weeks to come as more fish is sold.
You know, I think no one's sold any of their pack yet. I mean, from the position of a buyer right now, why would you buy when there's still, you know, 500,000 fish coming being caught every day?
Wayne Welms on the Quicksilver 2 says the uncertainty of coming off the water and flying home without a price was frustrating and unusual.
Yeah, before we get on the airplane and get out of here, before we haul the boat out of the water. But they're just holding back on us. It's a crazy fishery. You go fishing and you don't know what you're fishing for. You know, I believe in the old days they would give them a price before they went fishing. And now it's potluck.
Today I spoke with Janine Stewart, a reporter for Undercurrent News, who covers the global sockeye market in depth. She had some insight on why prices are so uncertain and what factors might be playing into them this year. We know the season started with plenty of sockeye in freezers. Any thoughts on what the size of the Bristol Bay run is going to mean for the market and prices when the summer shakes out?
Well, as all the processors will tell you, prices aren't decided till later, but we definitely have indications. There's a lot of fish, as was expected. It's not probably going to be quite as much as was expected, according to biologists, but in the beginning of the season, being a really, really disappointing return and disappointing harvest and everything, all of a sudden, a ton of fish came in to the bay, and so it became a huge season after all, as they had expected. So the thing that was really unusual about the season was that the peak of the run was 5 days late, which is a lot because there's like an average day, you know, that the run normally comes in, which is around July 6th. And this year, the peak didn't come till July 9th. That could be adjusted as the season goes on, but it looks like it's around July 9th, and that's about 5 days late. So it's pretty crazy. So managers are saying that this is kind of what they had expected in the beginning, but not what they had expected once the run was so late. So it's been kind of throwing people for a loop. In any case, the supply for Alaska statewide is looking to be larger than last year. And as a lot of people know, last year was a really big catch, big enough that it caused a lot of sockeye to stay in freezers. They just couldn't sell at all because there's so much of it. But last year, there was also the Fraser River Run, which was also large. And so that had contributed as well. And this year, Fraser River Run is expected to be a lot smaller than last year. So it remains to be seen, I suppose, how it compares to last year. But it is going to be a very big catch. Bristol Bay is on track to be the largest in 2 decades, actually. So to push down prices.
All right. Earlier in the season, Bristol Bay sockeye were on the small side. We're sort of hearing that they've picked up a little. What does that do to prices?
That will make prices lower. On average, prices are, you know, lower when the fish is smaller. Exactly what it does to prices is hard to say because there's like an average fish size and then there's the rod of fish. And each size, you know, has a different price point. So it's hard. It's definitely hard to say. But, I mean, in general, a smaller fish will mean a lower price. That should have an impact. I think the fish was, it's a little bit definitely on the small side, but it's not quite as small as they originally thought it would be.
What are some of the other factors that play into the market and kind of how are those looking this summer?
Other factors that play in would be the global catch. And from Russia, they're expecting a lot more catch this year. So that should be one factor that would cause the prices to be pushed down as well. Actually, Russia is expecting 15% more salmon this year. And another factor would be farmed salmon, which also is in high supply right now. So that would be another factor pushing prices down. Inventories from last year, it remains to be seen how much those will impact the market. There's some people are very worried that they will, but others say that their processors have that inventory, but they're selling the 2015 catch separately and trying to separate that in retailers and in buyers' minds, you know, from what they have already stored. So I guess it's hard to say, like, how much that inventory will affect things, but those are some other factors besides the overall catch.
We're hearing a wide range of prices here in the Bay, as low as 40 to 60 cents some places, more than a dollar elsewhere, but I've also been cautioned that that can really change after the season winds down. Do you know why that is, and also what have you been hearing?
It happens that way because processors don't fully know what they're going to get at the wholesale level for the fish throughout the year. And although they do make a lot of commitments early on for wholesale is different from early on for the fishermen. So the prices don't settle in some cases until April for different processors, depending on which processor you're talking about. So for that reason, fishermen won't know fully what they're getting until April in some cases. So it's pretty crazy the way that works. But it has to do with the global market and things that are completely beyond the fishery that relate more to consumer demand. How much are consumers, you know, willing to pay for a frozen fillet of wild Alaska salmon in December? You know, it's hard to predict that now in July.
Janine Stewart, reporter at Undercurrent News, covers seafood markets. Thanks for talking to me today, Janine.
Yeah, thank you.
Back in a moment.
Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is made possible in part by Naknek Family Fisheries, 246-FISH, or on the web at naknekfish.com.
Today we learned about a new development in which processors can sell to what markets. This summer we've been telling you about the disagreement between two groups of processors over who has access to the Marine Stewardship Council's Blue Sustainability Label. Well, those processors have finally reached an agreement. The Alaska Salmon Processors Association, or ASPA, has agreed to hand over the MSC certification to the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, or PSPA. That's expected to happen in October. Alaska salmon buyers need to be in the client group to use the MSC's label. Despite criticisms of the costly certification, MSC has proven necessary to sell salmon in some markets, especially Europe. PSPA President Glenn Reed says he thinks most of the processors who dropped MSC in 2012 and sought to rejoin this year will be part of the new group.
We're anticipating that it's going to be most of those that have expressed interest over the last month, and if so, it would be somewhere in the neighborhood, I think, of about 30 different companies.
The list of processors that originally wanted to rejoin the MSC this spring includes Trident, Ocean Beauty, Icicle, Peter Pan, and a handful of others. ASPA members who maintained the certificate when the others left are also expected to be part of the new group. They're led by Silver Bay Seafoods, and Copper River is also a member. Earlier this month, PSPA attempted to break the gridlock between processors in the existing group and those wishing to join by applying for its own MSC certificate. PSPA says it'll drop that effort. Reed says that by taking over the existing client group, all interested processors are ensured access to MSC markets next summer, rather than risking that the second proposed client isn't certified in time.
For example, if our application or process were to receive objections from someone, the time that it is required, even in a fishery that's already certified, stand up a second group, might put us in a position that by next summer we wouldn't have an active certificate. And so that there was risk associated with that. The benefit to us in going with the existing certificate and trying to get everybody in, I think the initial benefit is that there's certainty that we'll all have the opportunity to use the MSC program for sales next year.
Adding MSC's blue label to salmon packaging doesn't come cheap for the processors who wish to do so. Reed says he doesn't know yet how PSPA will divvy up the cost.
Our goal is to have an equal cost-sharing basis, either equal in some sort of unit of measure. I think in the past, if you go back far enough, they had somewhere between maybe two or three categories of if you process this many pounds, you were at this level, or a range of tonnage, you were at a different level. I think that there's also some consideration of just doing it by weight. There may be other considerations, but the cost-sharing basis will be equal for all members that choose to join.
ASPA Executive Director Rob Zwanek says his group is not asking PSPA to reimburse it for prior costs associated with the certificate, but that the new group will be responsible for any costs going forward.
No cost. The new client group will not be responsible for maintaining the annual surveillance audits under the current certificate, and hopefully 2018 will continue the certificate.
Zwanek says ASPA agreed to transfer the certificate so that the processing industry could move beyond what had become a divisive issue.
I think with the announcement by PSPA to start a new group and a new assessment, we thought it was just in the best interest of the industry to consolidate activities and put this matter behind us.
The current certificate applies to most, but not all, of Alaska's salmon fisheries. Prince William Sound is excluded. Reed says that'll stand for now, but could change in the future.
The decision whether or not to try and reopen the discussion on Prince William Sound may be something that is available to us now. It may be something that we'll have to wait until this certificate runs its course. Those are some discussions we need to have and will be at least partially driven by the rules under which this certificate has been written.
Alaska Governor Bill Walker intervened earlier this summer, saying the gridlock was threatening the profitability of Alaska salmon during an abundant year. At one point, the two groups attempted arbitration to resolve the issue. Commerce Commissioner Chris Laddick says the state wasn't involved in this final solution, but is glad the issue is resolved. There's a growing trend of small processing operations and direct marketing of sockeye here in Bristol Bay. One man in Ekuk has a new take on the traditional fillet of frozen fish. KDLG's Matt Martin reports Friedman Family Fishery is one of the few, if not the only, processors bringing a butterfly fillet to market.
The vacuum sealer releases its airtight grip as Avi Friedman expertly fillets the day's catch of reds on Ekuk Beach. Friedman has been fishing in Ekuk since 1989. 20 years ago, he bought some property in the summertime fishing village and started a processing operation.
It's a really good thing. I can realize full value of these fish by selling them to the public.
Friedman started by taking only 100 pounds of fish back to his home in Baltimore as an experiment. And with that, the Friedman Family Fishery was born.
And basically it's just taken off by word of mouth since then.
This year, he plans to send home about 8,500 pounds. And among the traditional salmon fillets, Friedman is packing up a more unusual cut. He calls it the butterfly fillet. To make a butterfly, take a regular salmon fillet, make a diagonal cut but not all the way through, move back a bit, make another cut, and go underneath that first cut so it comes off as one piece. Open up the flaps and you have a semi-round, butterfly-shaped chunk of meat.
Which I think is a cool look when you put it on a plate next to some veggies or of any other dish that you have that you're serving.
Devin Darrow cuts the butterfly fillets for Avi. He's been commercial fishing on Ekuk with his family since he was a child and introduced the butterfly cut to Avi. Darrow says he learned it from his father.
Who he learned from his father, Bob. And it is claimed that Bob came up with it, but we think that he got it from somebody else. But we give Grandpa credit for the butterfly fillet.
The two master fillets met up when Darrow started dating Friedman's daughter, and now the family tradition of the butterfly cut made it onto the list of products Friedman will be selling to his East Coast customers this year.
I've never seen it on the market. I've only known about it because our family's done it, and now Avi's selling it, so he's the only one that I know that actually sells it.
Darrow says it's his favorite way to eat salmon.
I personally like to fry it up. I like to get it crispy. It cooks real quick because it's a thinner piece of meat.
Friedman believes the butterfly will be popular with his clients. He says it's an easy way to have a single serving of salmon, something many of his customers are looking for. In Dillingham, I'm Matt Martin.
And this is the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. The Fisheries Report has learned that Trident Seafoods plans to close its South Naknek facility when the boats leave next spring. The facility employs several people year-round and houses usually at least 60 boats for the winter. In other fisheries news, researchers in Japan have found that brown bears in the Hokkaido area switched from eating more salmon and deer to more berries and plants as the region underwent growth and development in the 20th century. The Alaska Department of Natural Resources is taking feedback on shore lease regulations, including those that apply to set net sites. The department says no specific changes are proposed right now, but it's looking for feedback on which to base future changes. Comments are due July 31st. And finally, Fish and Game sport fishing update for this week. King salmon fishing reported is good in the Naknek and Alagnak drainages, poor in the Nooshigak drainage now that the run has come to an end, and very good in Togiak. For other species, Naknek and Alagnak drainages reported to have fair fishing for rainbow trout, the Togiak River fair to good fishing for Dolly Varden, rainbow trout, Arctic grayling, and fair fishing as well in the Wood River Lake system. Northern pike fishing, fair in the Naknek and Alagnak drainages and the Wood River Lake system. That's it for tonight's Bristol Bay Fisheries Report on KDLG. Replays are tonight at 10 and 2, or you can find the show online. This is the last week for the Fisheries Report. Send any last story ideas to fish@kdlg.org. I'm Molly Dishner. Dave Benninger produces the show. Good night.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report was made possible in part by AIFMA, the Alaska Independent Fishermen's Marketing Association, representing fishermen since 1966. More information at AIFMA.org.